This is listener-supported WFHB. Bloomington, Bedford, Ellettsville, Nashville. Community radio for South Central Indiana. Online at WFHB.org. In this special moth-inspired oral storytelling project, ninth grade students at the Academy of Science and Entrepreneurship share their narratives with us.
All right, cool. So welcome to the fifth annual Moth event. Yeah, your MC, Megan, you kind of already introduced yourself. Cool. So we're going to start introducing other people, such as Connor Daniel, with his story, Ninja Days. And Connor is a massive gamer and one of the best in the school. Self-proclaimed.
It was in third grade is when I used to like have this huge obsessions with ninjas, the Way of the Shadow and all that. I used to dress up all black, used to like bring an extra long sleeve shirt that was black to represent my ninja mask. And it was winter in third grade at Fairview Elementary, where they have like the hugest stairs, I swear. We were having our recess lunch routine, and I was luckily the first person in the single file line. I'm so like, yeah, I got this. And then I quickly wrapped my long sleeve shirt around my face to make it look like a ninja mask. And I decided, hey, it's a good idea to half blindfold myself and run up the stairs. Have you guys tried running up the stairs half blindfolded? You guys should do it sometimes. Really fun. So I ran up the stairs with my semi blindfold on, aka my ninja mask. And I went to the second set of stairs, and I tripped up. I felt like I broke my ankle, and I hit my head, like, on the stairs, and my nose was bleeding. At that point, like, everything was really, like, really funny, because the teacher was laughing. My peers were laughing. The teacher got me up and said, see, this is why you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be goofing around like that. I'm like, oh. And so he took me down to the nurse's office. And I got my nose patched up. She checked out my ankle. I was pretty much in the clear, but I had to be sent home, and so she called my dad, because they don't want a busted nose ninja in their school. And so they called my dad. My dad came over. He's like, son, you look like someone beat you up. I was like, oh. And so, yeah, after that, like, I pretty much don't remember what happened besides the fact that I went home. So, yeah.
All right, so that was a wonderful story. Thank you, Connor. So next we have Josiah Spear with An Arm for an Arm. Josiah is a student that has a dog and likes riding his bike. He also has a twin brother and an older sister.
So it was summer of 2016. I was in my house and I was ready for the school day to start because I had been homeschooled at the time. And school had carried over into the summer, which really sucked. So I was sitting in the living room just minding my own business, And my sister comes up to me and says, "Hey, move out of your seat." And I say, "No." So you see, she is an older sister, so she's really bossy. But, you know, she hasn't always this bossy, but she was this one time. So I said no. And then that started an argument, so I grabbed the hardback cover of The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and I hit her in the leg with it. At that point, I was just running away from my life, hoping that she wouldn't retaliate. And then I was wearing socks on a hardwood floor, so you can probably just guess what happened. I just slipped, and I couldn't see anything, and I just heard, and I looked down to see my arm, this backward C shape, and I just screamed, and I screamed, "I broke my arm! I broke my arm!" That caused my mom and my brother to think, "Wow, no, he didn't." Because I usually, like, exaggerated about this stuff, like if I fell off my bike. "I think I broke it." If I get punched in the arm, "I think it's broken." And if, even if I just fall down, "Help, it's broken!" Anywho, here comes my mom and my brother walking in. My mom sees my arm, she says, "Oh, you really did break it this time." So she sat me down on the couch, and my sister was just crying across from me. She was just ashamed and guilted for it. And I look over at my brother, Levi, and I say, "Hey, look, I broke my arm, and look, it's fine, it's fine." And he was just like, "Okay, okay." So my mom rushes me to the ER, and in the parking garage, we're walking into the door, like we're walking through the parking garage, and I ask her, "Hey, can I wave my broken arm at that secretary lady person?" And she says, "What? No." And I go, "Please." She goes, "No." So we walk in. My mom is just talking to her, and I don't know what they were talking about, but I was like, I grabbed my broken arm and I waved at that lady person. And I was just like, "Hey, look, I broke my arm." And she just like, "Okay." So they sat us down in the waiting room, and about a minute later, these doctors came in asking if I wanted a wheelchair. And you know what? I got that wheelchair. They wheeled me into this room that had a bed with wheels on it. And this doctor put me on painkiller, and he asked me how I broke it. And you can probably guess how that went. "How did you break it?" "Well, I hit my sister in the leg with The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and her leg got caught fire. So then I ran, I slipped, and I tried to prop my arm on the wall, and I broke it." And he's like, "Okay." So they went to set my arm in this room, and my mom asked me if I want her to stay in there. And I say, "No, I don't want to ruin your mind. Get out of here, quick." And then she walks out, but there's this lady monitoring my heart. And I felt like I was in a movie. I felt like a movie star. It was pretty cool to me. And then, they're like, I was like, "Okay, let's get started." And I clap and I blink and I open my eyes, it's all over. I'm like, "What? Are we gonna do it?" I look down, they're like wrapping my arm in a splint. Wait. And so I'm like, I just stare at the doctor's like, what happened? And this nurse looked at me and said, "Oh yeah, we set your arm." And I said, and I just remembered, "Oh yeah, one of the painkillers, they kind of make you lose your memory a bit." So I just, oh yeah, that's right. Sorry, I lost my footing there. So I just think, oh yeah, doctors are pretty good. So I just scream, "I love doctors!" So I go home, and did I learn from this? Absolutely not. About 2 years later, in June, I was riding my bike and I crashed it into my brother's bike, and I broke my other arm. That wasn't good. So same situation, ER, I didn't wave my broken arm this time, don't worry. And this time, and there was, what the cool thing was, is that this lady that was taking care of my arm, she wrapped it in a splint the time I broke my other arm. But then 2 years ago, she also healed this arm up. I'm like, wow, this is great. And I'm glad that my arms are healed, and I'm glad that, and everyone's glad too, and thank you for listening.
I'm going to be honest, I'm really glad I didn't say break a leg. So I'm just, I'm really glad. Okay, so next we have Makila Gentry with pancakes. Makila is a freshman who loves to make people happy. She also loves animals.
Okay, so you know how when you're younger, your parents tell you not to do stupid things? I was one of the kids who didn't listen. My mom laid us down, me and my brother. We were like 3 or 4. We laid down to take a nap, and she thought we were gonna go to bed. We decided we were hungry. So we got out of our beds, walked to the kitchen. My brother asked, "What do you want to eat?" I answered, "Pancakes." He said, "All right, cool, but you have to help cook it." Yeah, being a 3 and 4 year old, we don't know how to cook. So he started grabbing ingredients, and we had chocolate syrup and eggs and corn muffin mix. We first cracked the eggs on the floor. Then we got the chocolate syrup and poured that everywhere, and got the corn muffin mix and mixed that with it. Started mixing it. We were scared because we didn't know if our mom was going to come downstairs. And next thing we know, we hear footsteps. It's our mom walking down the stairs. We look up. Our mom just has this disappointed look on her face. Then we're sitting there scared, didn't know what to do. Then we all just start laughing. And she just went on and started asking us a bunch of questions like, "What are you guys doing and why?" And we answered and we said we were hungry. And then she took us outside, sprayed us with the water hose, and we still had our clothes on, but it was like mid-September, so there were a bunch of people everywhere because we lived in like a townhouse. Yeah, she took us outside, then took us back inside. We were good. Then she actually made pancakes. They tasted better than the first ones. Yeah, thank you.
All right, sweet, no pun intended. So next we have Lucas Nevitt with chills. And Lucas is a freshman who likes food too much. Oh dear. And ice skating as fast as possible. He also likes to play the trumpet.
So a couple weeks ago, I had an interesting experience at my friend Carson's house. So there were 3 of us, not including me. It was Carson, his brother Logan, who used to go to this school, and another friend named Effie. So we played Smash Bros. For a little bit, and then I was spamming as usual, but then we decided to go outside. So I was really excited, because this was after a huge snowstorm, and as we all know, since we live in Indiana, the weather here is crazy. We can have 5 seasons in 1 week. Spring, summer, winter, fall, and my personal favorite, Antarctica. So we sledded when we went outside, and we wrestled for a little bit. But then we got this weird feeling. The activities that had given us the biggest adrenaline rush just minutes before wasn't doing anything for us anymore, and the word thrill was now an overstatement. Some people could call this getting bored. So as we all know, when teenagers get bored, they do stupid stuff. So when someone had the great idea to go out on a frozen pond, not gonna point anyone out, but that may or may not have been me. So we went on the frozen pond and we slid around for a little bit, and we heard a few pops here and there. And then all of a sudden, I see Carson chase Effie out of the pond and tackle him into the snow. And all I could do was stand there and watch as he did this. And then he turns around, looking at me like a predator looks at prey. And I was looking at him like a deer would look at a speeding car. And as it's rushing toward him in the headlights. And then I start to take things into account, because if you're gonna die, might as well know what it's like around you when you die. So I look around, the ice is 3 inches thick. I'm heavier than he is, and he's smaller than me, but he knows how to take me down from experience. So he runs at me full speed and tackles me. And 2 seconds later, I hear a gasp, and I hear him run off the ice. When I get up, wondering what that was about, I look down, and the ice looks like a spider web. And I slowly walk off the ice, and we resume doing non-stupid stuff, because that's the only logical thing to do. And the lesson I learned from this experience was not to do anything rash on thin ice.
Wow, I was gonna make a thin ice joke, but he kind of already beat me to the punchline. So, you know. Alrighty then. So next we have Grace Flynn with a Knight of Nerf Wars. Wow. Grace is not the type of person to play with Nerf guns normally, and I would not blame them.
So, the day after the big snowstorm on the weekend of Martin Luther King Day, my group of friends and I had planned to have a movie marathon. What had happened, however, was honestly completely different. We started out playing video games, which typical teenagers, I know. So we were playing, my friend Makila and I were playing, we're watching the boys play video games, and Nick had gotten up to go to the bathroom, and Luke hit him with a baseball bat as he walked out, like a blow-up baseball bat. He wasn't seriously injured, but Nick and Luke were, then started looking at the Nerf guns, and I guess one of them got the idea to pick one up and shoot the other, which started a Nerf war, because we're teenagers and stuff like that. That stuff that could potentially harm us seems interesting. Don't know why, but it does. I wasn't necessarily involved in the first Nerf war. I was crawling around on the ground collecting ammo to give to people, because I don't know why. Like, certain people, it was pick and choose on who got ammo and who didn't. They had decided that they had gotten bored or tired of running around and shooting each other. And so we had tried to watch a movie. That didn't last very long, because movies aren't as exciting as the adrenaline rush of Nerf Wars. So that started another one. Don't remember who started that or what the circumstances were, but during that one, me and Makila, who typically laughs like a hyena and screams at the most random things, were hiding behind the air hockey table as shelter. I don't know why we thought that would be a good idea, because it was an open space. But every time somebody would try to shoot one of us, Makila would either start laughing or start screaming at the top of her lungs. So Makila and I had moved out from behind the table, and Makila was underneath a chair, like a little kid chair, using it as a shelter. Don't know why she thought that would be a good idea, but she was using that. And my friend Paulo, I think he smacked her in the knee with his Nerf gun, and then he hit her gun trying to do something else, and she smacked herself in the eye. She might have gotten a black eye after that. I'm not going to say whether or not that happened. But somewhere along the line of people getting hurt and things getting broken, Nick had hit Patrick in the face and broke his glasses. It was an easy fix. They were both fine. The glasses, however, weren't very fine. So after that, when the adrenaline rush of the second Nerf war had worn down, we had started playing air hockey and ping pong. So during the Nerf war, Luke and I, the guy who was hosting, we decided to make a bomb of sorts. It was a battery stuck together with pixie sticks and tiger pops. Don't know what we thought it would do, but we made it, and that's what we called it. And we, Luke had it, and he kept putting it on the air hockey table, and it got in the way of the puck and the, I don't know what they're called, the things that hit the puck around. And it just made playing air hockey kind of hard. So somebody had seen the pool table attachment and had suggested that, or not the pool table, the ping pong table attachment, and suggested that we use that instead. We didn't find one of the balls in time, and so they started playing ping pong with a gigantic yoga ball. Nothing was majorly broken that was of importance. The basement, however, was trashed by the end of the night. The lesson that I had taken away from this experience is sometimes it's good to slow down and take advantage of the little things in life. If life is moving too fast for you to keep up, take a break, get together with some friends and family, and just hang out. Because sometimes we all need a little bit of a break.
All right, thank you, Grace.
You are listening to a special moth-inspired oral storytelling project featuring narratives from ninth grade students at Bloomington's Academy of Science and Entrepreneurship.
So next we have Elijah Kegel with Fishing Adventure Gone Wrong. Oh, so Elijah loves making bead designs and is skilled at making buttons.
So, the thing you should know about me is that, like, to me, nature is okay to me. Like, it's fine and all, but I'm an indoors kind of person. So, back then, like, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I lived with my uncle. And a few, like, houses down, there was these neighbors. And their name were Randy and Christian, and they had this pond. It was small but big enough to hold fishes. So Randy taught me how to fish. So I would go over there like maybe like 3 times a week and fish. So one day I went over to the house again to plan to go fishing. And they had their dogs out. 3 of them. 2 of them were big and 1 was small. So when I was walking up, I saw them, and Randy and Christian were in the garden a little behind them. So once I saw the dogs, I stood there, and I just waved at Randy and Christian, acknowledging I was there. But then the dogs saw me, and they got up and started to run at me. And to me, I thought to myself, I should probably run, shouldn't I? And the answer was yes. So I was trying to run as fast as I can as a little kid, but dogs are way faster. They're very much faster. So as I was like running, they eventually caught up to me and they surrounded me. I don't exactly remember what happened, but Randy said I might have kicked the little dog out of fright. So the big one bit me. I can't. Bite me. And apparently it was behind me. I thought it was in front of me. No. So there's only a few spots where a dog can bite you. And you wanna know where it bit me? The left cheek. Yeah. So that was fun. So after that, I fell on the ground. And like, I think I was crying or something. So Randy and Christian was like running out of the garden to help me off the ground and like get me out, like in, put me, get me in their house. So they said it might have been like a bruise or a scar. And you know how those things are like supposed to go away? Yeah, mine didn't. There's a mark there to this day. So after that, I called it a day. And so the lesson I learned is like, stay indoors and cats are better.
I feel like I should start tallying the number of injuries, but yeah. All right then, so from ponds and puppies, we're going to scoot on over to pavement with Dylan Dunka with Skating Days. And Dylan learned how to skateboard even though it was a long road there.
Okay, so this story starts in the summer of 2018. My dad gets home from work. He brings home a skateboard, a longboard. It has red wheels, a yellow and green back. It was beautiful. So that day I ride it, not knowing that we didn't have any helmets that fit me. So I couldn't ride it with any helmet, no protection, nothing. So I ride the first hill to go to this trail that I really like going to. And I go down the hill. It really does feel really nice. But whenever I go to turn, I just fall off. I slide for about a meter, and my skateboard rolls for another meter. And it did hurt, but I was able to get back on it, go back home. But a while after that, I am still getting much better at the skateboard. But this particular day, I did a lot worse. I was skateboarding with two of my friends, Tyler and Isaiah. We rode down the same trail, but this time it was a bit different. My skateboard was wobbling out of control, and where I was, there was nothing soft to land on. There was trees, gates, and thorn bushes. So it was not fun. What happened was I fell off. Well, more of flung off to what I thought I was gonna die. But it turns out it was just a thorn bush. Not as bad as I thought, but I still had a lot of scrapes. It was painful. My friends laughed at me. And I had to take a 5-minute breather, get back on, and scoot and skate it out that day. A while later, I'm riding my skateboard by myself this time. And the wheel just starts locking up. So I just go to turn it, because I think that's a really smart idea. Turns out it was not a very good idea, because it started shredding the bearing. But it gave me a little bit of time to skate. So I'm going back home, and I'm like, okay, this thing ain't working, so I'm just gonna put it away and wait till later. Next day rolls around, I take it out, and I go with my friend, Tyler, the same Tyler, and we both try to figure out ideas to find out how to fix this wheel. So we take out the wheel and we take out the bearing. And the balls in the bearing, most of them are completely shredded. So we take out the shredded ones and keep the ones that are in. And I just put back the wheel and just skate. Then the balance feels off and then I just hear this like screeching noise. Find out the wheel has just fallen off, but it just rolls, just keeps rolling. And by the time it stops, it was hard to find it. It took us 30 minutes to find it. Found out it was by Tyler's house. So I'm like, well, I guess I can't ride this anymore. So I put it away and I'm not able to ride it for a long while, which came to be 2 months. Because around that time, I got new wheels and new bearings and some speed cream. So I got like a new deck, basically. So I ride that, or the day after that, feeling much better about my situation. Then New Year's rolls around. And I skateboard for a little while. Then I go back home. There's a patch of grass near our house that I landed onto. It flung me off the skateboard. What happened then was I thought I was gonna be fine. Yeah, I was completely wrong. What happened was I tried to get up. I felt a very sharp pain in my ankle. And I tried to walk home, more like bounce on one foot. But I go back home, and I try to sit on the couch. It still hurts. So next day, we go to the hospital. Finds out it is sprained. What I learned from this is that without any type of pain, without any type of hurdle, you can't get anything out of it. And that's where the moral of the story comes in. I couldn't get anything out of it without putting something in. No pain, no gain.
Oh, so you're playing basically instead of Where's Waldo is Where's Wheelie. So much for burning rubber. And speaking of burning, actually, I'm kind of scared but optimistic about Jesse Coggy with flamethrower antics. Jesse is a 15-year-old who has way too many hobbies to list here. However, a few include photography, playing guitar, and inventing.
Okay, so I grew up in a small town of about 2,000 people where there were probably more head of cattle than there were actual people. I was often pretty bored, and when I got bored, I did stupid things. I built a lot of potato guns and all kinds of weird stuff, but one of the most interesting things was a flamethrower. So one day I was messing with an axe can and a lighter. My parents were somewhere else, and I always tried to hide dangerous stuff from them that I was doing. So I thought it would be a great idea to make this into a large flamethrower so that I could like strap to my back and everything. So I first had to find some propellant, and I knew in the garage I had some old hairspray lying around that I used for my like mini potato guns and things like that. So I had the propellant, the hairspray, the like moldy, nasty hairspray stuff in the garage. And then I cut apart a barbecue lighter to get the ignition out, the little spark thing in it. And so I had the propellant and the igniter, and the last thing I needed was something to actually spray out the hairspray. So I picked something that definitely wouldn't melt under extreme heat, a plastic super soaker. So I filled up the super soaker with the hairspray, and I duct taped or hot glued, I don't really remember, the ignition on. And I went outside around back so no one would see me. And it was September at the time, so I put on my coat, which was made of down and nylon, very fire retardant, as you know. So I went around back and I pressed the trigger on the super soaker, and the hairspray started to come out, and I pressed the igniter and it sparked. And sure enough, a big stream of flames came out. It was super loud. I was so excited that it worked. And all my excitement, I didn't notice that the plastic tip of the super soaker was starting to melt, and more hairspray was starting to leak out. And also, I didn't take into account the wind that day, which blew the flames right back at me as they came out. And I started to smell an interesting smell coming from my coat. And that's when I noticed that I was literally on fire. So, this is the only time that I've actually had to stop, drop, and roll. So I just stood in place and fell on the ground, and I started rolling around like a crazy person. And I was like a burnt piece of toast there. And so finally the flames went out, and I went back inside and I told my parents that my coat was ruined. They weren't too happy. And so a few weeks later I was in class. And whenever I get bored in class, I start drawing up designs for new inventions to make. So I came up with a new concept, this time using something much more fire retardant that wouldn't burn or anything, a piece of wood.
Wow, please don't try that at home. Oh, geez. Goodness, speaking of fire and things burning and just lighters in general, we have Haley Jellius with the lighter epidemic of 2012 and 2013. Haley is a 14-year-old who's a little angsty and eccentric. Prepare yourself for dramatic hand gestures and constant movement.
All right, so when I was younger, I was crazy. I was either picking fights that I knew I couldn't win or just screaming, running around. So, after an assembly about the dangers of smoking, I decided that I would stop my mom from smoking. So, we get home. I sit on the porch with my mom and she lights a cigarette and puts her lighter down. This is my opportunity. Okay. I get on all fours, crawl around her, and I take the lighter and I run inside. I get to my Dora backpack, unzip the first zipper, and throw the lighter in there. So I walk back out, nonchalant, and I sit myself down right next to my mother, and she's like, "Wanna watch a movie?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's go." So we go inside, sit down on the couch, and we put on High School Musical. This was a great marathon, and we watched movies all weekend. Come Monday, school's starting again. So I put on a nice Tiana dress, you know, got some sparkly cowgirl boots, and I am ready to show people how amazing I am. We get in the car, and we start driving, and I'm hyped, okay? Hyped for this day. We get at school, I walk in, get in my third grade classroom, and I put my backpack on the rack in the back, and I sit down at my desk. I'm talking to my friends, and everything is cool until the teacher walks in. We all stop talking, and she's like, "Okay, today's homework day." I dreaded this day of the week because I never did my homework. I never did any work, actually, so she always knew. She always knew to check me. So she's like, "Haley, where's your homework?" And I'm like, "I didn't do it." And she's like, "Well, I'm gonna have to check your backpack." And I'm like, "I don't care. Go ahead." I was 8, okay? It's fine. So we go to the back. We get my backpack. She unzips all the zippers and pours it out on her desk. Now, I had forgotten what I had done over the weekend. So out comes a bright blue lighter. Fun. What a great way to start off the week. I start sobbing, internal panicking. I'm like, "Oh my God, this is how I die." I was like, "My life is ending right now. She's gonna call my mom and it's over." So she's like, "Haley, I'm gonna have to call your mom." And I'm like, "No, please, please don't call my mom." She's like, "I'm gonna." And I'm like, "Oh, dying." She gets on the phone and she's like, "Is this Danielle Jellius?" And I don't hear my mom, but then she's like, "Okay, we're gonna have to talk after school." And she hangs up. Oh God, this is it. Okay, I thought I could avoid it. You know, I thought my mom wouldn't answer. She did. Great. This is fun. So, throughout this day of panicking, I finally realized what I had done. So, come the end of class, we walk out. My teacher's holding my hand, and I didn't like that. So, you know, I looked completely horrified. And my mom walks up. And she just looks so disappointed. She's just like, ugh. And she walks up, and my teacher straightens herself up, and she's like, "So, your daughter brought a lighter to school." And my mom is like, "Yeah, she was trying to get me to stop smoking because you guys had an assembly about it." My teacher looks shocked, okay? My teacher is like, "I thought I would get her this time." "No, you thought wrong. My mom got me, okay?" At this moment in my head, I was like, "I love you. I will never doubt your parenting skills again." I was wrong, but that doesn't matter now. So, you know, I'm still crying. I'm like, "I love you, you're my savior." And my mom is just like, "I know, I got you." My mom's cool like that, you know? She's a younger mom, but you know. So after this, I didn't really act on impulses as much. So, you know, I guess I'm doing a little bit better.
Thank you, Haley.
You are listening to a special moth-inspired oral storytelling project featuring narratives from ninth grade students at Bloomington's Academy of Science and Entrepreneurship.
So next we have Jaden Cooper with Honeymoon Goodbyes. Jaden is a 15-year-old and is an optimist. She loves to bake, cook, and live life.
So a few days before my mom and dad got married, my mom had tried to explain to me that after when they got married, they would be leaving for a couple days. So I was thinking, okay, this is cool. Like, after when they get married, we're gonna all go on a family trip together. This is great. On January 12th, 2008, they got married, and it was a great night. I was 4 years old, and a lot of people were saying my mom looked beautiful in her dress, and that was true, but I also looked great. I had my white dress on, it had beads, I had my hair done. I thought I looked good. And towards the end of the night, my mom started giving people hugs and saying goodbye, and I was like, huh, silly mom, she's saying goodbye to people. And then she came up to me and she gave me a hug. She said goodbye and walked away. And so I'm like, this is weird. And so I'm thinking about what she possibly means. And I hear this cheering. And this huge crowd forms around me. And I look up from where I'm standing. And I see my stepdad pick up my mom and carry her out of the reception area. And my heart sank. I felt so betrayed. I was like, wait, why is my mom and dad leaving me? Where are they going? And so I'm pushing people from the crowd and I'm trying to run to catch to my parents. And I get to them, and at this point I'm hyperventilating because I've just been running. And I'm also crying and I'm like, mom, where are you going? Why are you leaving me? And then I feel this hand, you know, sit on my shoulder, and it's my grandma, and she had saw me run out of the reception area. And so at that point I knew that no matter how much I begged, no matter how much I cried, that my parents were gonna leave. So I just watched as they left. So about 30 minutes after they had left, me and my grandma left too. And I was thinking, you know, this is it, I'm dead. I'm going to be homeless. I'm not going to have any food. My parents are gone. What am I going to do? But I didn't realize that my parents had made arrangements for me to stay with my grandma. So we get home, and I didn't really want to argue with my grandma when she was like, it's time for bed, because it was really late and I was super tired. And so I take off my, what was my white, beautiful dress, was now stained with ice cream and whatever else my four-year-old hands got into. And so I take it off and I put on my pajamas and I go to the guest bed. And my uncle was like, hey, Jaden, I'm going to go downstairs to the kitchen and get something. And you stay in the bed, and then whenever I come back up, I can say goodnight too. So I was like, okay. So he heads downstairs and I'm waiting in the bed by myself. And I was deathly afraid of the dark when I was 4 years old. And so right by the side of my grandma's house, there was this huge tree, and the tree branch smacked against the window and it scared the mess out of me. So this house, my grandma's house, was a bi-level house. So when you first walked in, there was a stairs going to the top where the beds were, and then there were stairs going down to the kitchen. So I make it down the first stairs pretty good, and I'm running and I'm trying to get down to the kitchen, and then I miss three or four steps and my four-year-old self rolls down and I smack against the wall at the bottom and I leave a dent in the wall. So not only did I hurt my head, my ankle, but I also hurt my dignity that night. So the next morning I call my parents and I'm crying and I'm like, you guys left me and I fell down the stairs. Thanks a lot. But they did keep their promise and they came back in a few days. And later in life I found out that what they did is called a honeymoon, and apparently you don't take your kids on it.
awesome. I loved that. That was so wholesome. So next we have Nick Mullen with The Terror of Roller Skating. Okay. Nick is a determined guy that will always work to get better. Really a lot of a goal setter. So.
So, this starts about, this starts about 5 years ago. I, went roller skating to a, birthday party, and I hated it because I fell so many times, and falling isn't that fun. Kind of hurts, but I got back up and I fell again, and then I finally left the roller skating rink. I was like, I am never coming back here again because of how much it hurt. And pain isn't a nice thing. So I left thinking I'm never coming back. And then I decided, oh, I'm going to try skateboarding. And so I did. I fell with that too. So apparently, anything with four wheels, I'm not that great at, which is going to be an adventure because I started driving recently, and that's going to be fun. And so I got better with my balance because of the skateboarding, but there was no way in heck that I was possibly going to ever think of going back to that roller skating rink. But turns out, 2 years later, I was about 15 at this time, and we decided, me and my friend were together, and we were like, oh, what are we going to do next? And we came up with these ideas, and one of the ideas were movies, laser tag, but we were like, no, we want something nice and fresh, something hip, something that is the greatest thing in the whole entire world. And that thing was the greatest thing of the 21st century, which, my God, is roller skating. Okay, let me tell you. And I was like, no, we are not doing that. Even though it's hip, even though it's fresh, we are not doing it. Okay, because that thing is painful. Those four wheels that you put on your feet make you fall every single time. But he was like, okay, chillax. Okay, calm down, take a deep breath. Okay, you have gotten better at this. Your balance has improved. And then I was like, yes, you're right. It has improved. I can do this. And so we went in the car. We drove to the building of roller skating, which at that time to me was AKA the building of falling and hurting yourself and ending up in lots and lots of pain, which isn't good. And so then we got out of the car, we went in that building, and I started to sweat. My knees started to shake, and then when my knees started to shake, then I went in there with my $10, and I gave the $10 to the man. And then in turn, he gave me the roller skates. And I knew what I was gonna do with those. I was gonna fall with those. I was gonna fall a lot. But then I devised a plan. And that plan was, if we crawl to the nearest wall and never let go, we shall not fall, correct? Well, that plan was not a good enough plan. I should have probably came up with a way better plan. But then I crawled to the wall and I tried to get up. And at that point, I met my destiny, and that was to fall. And my falling destiny that night was around 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 times, which hurts a lot, but at that point, I was not afraid of roller skating anymore.
Yeah, roller skating might be hip, but I don't want to break a hip. So, lots of injuries already tonight. So next, we have Aiden Mahaffey with Rafting in Colorado. And Aiden is an optimistic student, although he's not very fond of rafting anymore. I wonder why.
Hey there, how you guys doing? Good? All right, nice. So I'm pretty sure everyone here can relate to the dreaded family road trip. You know, whenever you're packed into a car with a million things, if like a million what-if scenarios all happened at once. Well, those were the circumstances of the summer after my seventh grade year, where my entire family, me, my sister, my dad, and my mom, went on a cross-state road trip extravaganza, and it went through states including but not limited to Idaho, Texas, Utah, Missouri, really you name it. But the state that definitely left the biggest mental and physical impression on me had to be Colorado. So there I was, little seventh grade me in our AC-deprived Subaru, and I was thinking it wouldn't be such a bad thing just to ride inside of our tiny little food cooler, because I figured it would give me a lot more space than the dozen bags I was sitting on. When we had the most genius idea, being so close to Colorado, we decided to call up my uncle, who was in Cresta Butte, really nice place. But if there's one thing that we do there, it is raft, right? So we call him up, he suggests that we go rafting, and we think this is a fantastic idea. So we drive all the way up there, well, up there in the mountains, it's pretty high up already. But we go to this little rental shop, and I won't say that the shop is seedy per se. I mean, it was actually pretty nice, but the inner tubes there, the two-person inner tubes that we got two of, I would not say that they were the highest quality. They're kind of gray, really faded looking. I wasn't completely sure they weren't duct taped together. But of course, you know, to seventh grade me, this raises no red flags. I was thinking everyone gets these. Except, you know, my uncle's bringing his own kayak. Just tourist traps, right? So we take our two people inner tubes and we start marching up the river, right? We're just kind of going up the side of it, and we see a lot of people just kind of dressed like us. I was in like flip-flops, cargo shorts, you know, Hawaiian shirt, real touristy stuff, feeling pretty proud of myself, you know, helping the stereotype go along. And we decided to go real high up because, you know, why just do what everyone else does? We're the Mahaffeys. We do above and beyond. So we decided to keep on marching up like good little soldiers. We keep on going and going and going, and we start seeing a lot less people with flip-flops, cargo shorts, and Hawaiian shirts. In fact, we start seeing a lot more people who look like they know what they're doing. And you know, the water's getting like a little rougher looking. Like, I wouldn't say it's like, levels. I would just say it's a little bit like, levels. So we get up there and we get to a spot we think is gonna be good. And we get into the water and it is icy cold. Like, I cannot believe it's not frozen. Anyway, so I decide I'm going to ride with my mom, and we plop down our not-so-seaworthy vessel into the water. I'm really glad it's floating right now. And we clamber in, right? And we kick off, and at first we're going really slow, and I'm like, why does everyone do this? This is terrible. What do you mean? This is so boring. And then we start going faster and faster, and I'm starting to have a lot of fun. I'm starting to forget the cold water, and I nearly glazed over this little edge where it almost looked like the water didn't go right. So I'm just thinking to myself, you know, I'm riding in the front, of course, I'm just thinking, you know, I should probably prepare myself for that. And we keep on getting faster and faster, and it keeps on getting closer and closer, and I'm just thinking, you know, mental countdown, I'm like 3, 2, 1, and then I was weightless, just kind of whooshing across the air, and I just couldn't believe it. I was like, I have wings and I'm flying. No, actually, we were just going over a 10-foot waterfall, and, you know, all things that go up must come down, so we just kind of hit the water and go, floop, and we're under. And I'm just getting tossed and turned everywhere, because in the current, it is not exactly the calmest place. And it really dampens your kind of sense of sound, so I can only just hear my thoughts. And I'm just thinking, man, you know, if I don't make it out of this, that'll be a real shame. These are my favorite pair of flip-flops. So I'm just getting tossed and turned, and eventually my life jacket figures out which way up is, and it brings me up, and the world explodes back into sounds again, and it's real cold. I'm being, like, the energy is being sapped out of me, so I swim over to the side of the water and kind of grab onto a rock ledge and haul myself up. And I'm just kind of standing there real triumphantly, just, yeah, I just did that. I just conquered it. Man versus wild. And then I'm just kind of looking up, and then I start looking down at the water, and I look down at my feet, and that's where the feeling fades. My flip-flops are gone. I have a brief moment of mourning for my favorite pair of flip-flops. I'm thinking about all the good times we had together, and then I decided to go find my family. And then my mom, she was pretty close by. I ended up finding her kind of the same situation minus the flip-flops because she had no favorite pair. And we couldn't find the rest of my family, so I was just checking around anywhere I could. And we saw them coming up from the bottom, and they're asking me where we were. And I said, we were underwater. They just kind of laughed that off, but I don't think you guys will blame me for saying I don't want to go whitewater rafting in Colorado in an inner tube ever again. Thank you.
This has been a special moth-inspired oral storytelling project in which ninth grade students at the Academy of Science and Entrepreneurship have shared their narratives with us. Special thanks to Rachel Barr.